Excuse me.
One of those boy bands?
Yeah.
I tried getting Matt keys, but it was taken already.
Matt, won't show it. Matt, you can't find that anywhere.
All right, then we'll say a good net of shabrams. Yeah. No. Is this your water?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Is this your water?
It is my water, but I'm good.
Oh, thank you.
It might be good, but it could be better.
All right, so we'll say thank you to our sponsors. Rabbi Yehuda Buchwalter for dedicating the shir tonight, commemoration of the upcoming yard site of his father, of Usher Buchwalter, whose first yard site is Sunday, the 4th of Shvat. Where's Rabbi Yehuda? We hope that in the merit of Miras Hashem, get Rabbi Yehuda's father, an Ud Mutzal Me'esh, one of the survivors, one of the special neshamas of Klal Yisrael, who after enduring such overwhelming and unspeakable Gehenna, had the ability to rebuild, had the ability to pick himself up from the ashes, and Baruch Hashem was zocha to see in this world generations of children, grandchildren, who were zocha Miras Hashem to continue in the ways of Yaakov Saba Kadisha. His neshama Shav and Aliyah should be a melech yoshev for his mishpacha and for all of Klal Yisrael. Thank you to Adam Edelman, Adam David Edelman, for sponsoring in honor of his son Avi Edelman's engagement to Hannah Tanzer. Mazel tov. Where is that? Adam David is not here. Not here. All right. There is a buyout option. If you sponsor enough, you don't have to come to shir. There is a sponsor. But again, Mazel tov, Chassid and Kalim, Yeretz Hashem. Shavizocha to build the binyan adi adi mev esim shana tol. So both said tremendous hashchot Reb Tzvi for the beautiful, beautiful spread that is. That is really the Bzusha. Wow. Okay. Tonight, Beishvat. Wow. Okay. And the Rebbe of Bzusha. Incredible. Rabosai. So we are continuing in Meretz Hashem tonight. We started last week in the Sefer of Tzav Zerus, the journal of the Piyajetzna. And this is a very different type of Sefer, very different type of Limud. And something got it. It got a little wet. It was the tears from the Torah already. Right, so the very different kind of limud over here, just with the Rebbe's Torah and the Rebbe's journal. You know, we thought B'nai Machshava Tova was like an entry into the Chedrei Chadarma of the Rebbe's heart, the Rebbe's soul. This is even something even deeper. But, you know, I was thinking a lot today. I'm sure many of you saw, you know, what's happening at The Hague and the International Court of Justice, where literally, again, it's Eretz Yisrael, and it's like Am Yisrael is on trial, in front of the world. And the irony of ironies is that, you know, South Africa has got its own problems to deal with, like rampant levels of poverty, ridiculous levels of corruption, and just like, there's a reason why there's mass emigration. You know, they had a very strong Jewish community there. There's a reason why just people are leaving. And it's incredible to see that suddenly, again, they are the beacons of morality, the beacons of light. But, you know, in general, the way it works in the world, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh said, that whenever you see something or experience something in this world, there's always a message. There's always a message for us to see. Right? He quotes the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says, right, Histakel b'shlosha dva. Again, he says, Dam alamala mimcha, ayin roa, v'ozin shoma'as, v'chol ma'asecha b'sefer nechtovim. So the Rebbe says, no, that there's a watching eye and an attentive ear. So again, b'pashtos is referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? The Moshe sees everything, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears everything. But the Rebbe said, on a deeper level, what it means is, everything you see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to see. And everything you hear, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to hear. Which means that if we're living in this time where these proceedings are taking place, Klish Baruch Hu wants us to see it because there's a Musar to be gleaned from it. So I was thinking a lot about this today. Like, what's the Musar? What's the Musar from this charade of justice, supposedly? That's like, what are we supposed to take from it? And I will say, it struck me today that, you know, as I just mentioned before, it's incredible that a country that has so much that is broken inside of it, like South Africa, right, has the chutzpah to suddenly go ahead and be the one who needs to point out to the world what's broken in Eretz Yisrael, the only democracy in the Middle East. But it's true, it's a Dover Pashut. What's the Dover Pashut? The Dover Pashut is, we all prefer to look at the things that are broken in others rather than look at the things that are broken in ourselves. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is putting on the front stage for us. This is on the global stage. The paradigmatic example of focusing on what is broken in everyone else to the exclusion of introspecting and looking inward. That's literally what this is. And then it struck me even more. When does this whole thing start? On a Thursday. On a night of Piyajetzna. Because I will say, what's the entire point of the Piyajetzna's works of Tzavazeres? We'll see this whole point of this journal is to look inward. That's the whole avoda, is to look inward. We spend so much time running away from the stuff that's contained inside because we're so scared to encounter our broken kite. We're so scared to own the things that are just in such a state of disrepair. So instead, I'll just pretend like it doesn't exist. Or I'll focus on what's broken in this one, broken in that one. And the Rebbe comes along. And tells us, stop running. Stop running. Don't be scared to look inside yourself. You may be a little bit scared with what you find initially. But like Rabbi Nachman says, "Im ta'amin," if you believe that you have the ability to destroy, then ta'amin, then believe you have the ability to build. And I will say, I think that's the tremendous Moser that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pointing out to us in these days. Right? Am Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, is fighting a just war. We are the tip of the spear for all humanity in the ultimate war of good versus evil. And yet, again, everyone is so quick to pile on what we're doing wrong, and this and that and all these different things. And meanwhile, again, every one of the accusers has so much of their own personal and national work to do. But why focus on that when you can focus on the negativity of someone else? But I will say, every single morning when we say the bracha of Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Shelo Asani Goy, what does it mean when we say, Hashem, thank you for not making me like the nations of the world? I will say, never has that bracha resonated with greater importance than these days. Because you know what separates Am Yisrael from the nations of the world is that where everyone else always wants to focus on what's broken in the other, we as a people and as individuals have the koach to focus on what's broken in ourselves and to figure out a way to fix it. It started this morning in the International Court of Justice, and then ultimately, again, the Ariel Avoda begins tonight with the Piyajetzna. Let's begin the journey of looking inside, not running away anymore. Stop being afraid of whatever is broken or whatever is misfiring. It's part of me. It is me. I'm going to own it. I'm going to fix it. And with the Piyajetzna's help, and of course with Siyata Dishmaya, in Meretz Hashem, I'm going to make myself into something great. So I will say with that, let us begin. We're picking up tonight in Sif Gimel. Incredible. All right, Tabosis, so look what the Rabbi says over here. So remember again, in Aleph and Beis, again, all right, I'm not going to review it again, otherwise we're just going to dive in my roof. So we'll start with Gimel. Start with Gimel tonight. But we'll say, I'll have Svarim by next week. And this Sefer is going to be a good investment because this actually has two Svarim in one. Yes, you heard correctly. Two Svarim in one. Hachsharas Ha'avreichim and Tzavazeres. So we're actually starting from the back of the Sefer first. This is the Piyajetzna's journal. So Meretzim will have them next week.
Like a 10-year investment.
I was going to say like 15, but yeah. But if we move at a good pace, it'll be 10 years. Yes, Meretzim Hashem. Yes, we'll shuffle it. By that time, though, Tzvi's going to have to switch to a low-fat diet because we'll be on like blood thinners or whatever. No, that was unnecessary, but deserved. Well, no, just because of that, there's no deep fryer in the new building now. That's right. They're going to sit there with you, a little air fryer, one thing at a time. Say, let's begin. Let's begin. Paragraph Kimo. Now again, I just want to point out, like I mentioned last week, this sefer is very different because it's not a sefer. It's the Piagetsna's personal journal. So what you see him writing over here, what you see him writing, everybody has a sheet, Gabi. Sheet, Israel, you guys have? Yeah, okay. So I'll say, so what you see over here is the Piagetsna, remember again, just put, he's journaling. So I'll say, what do you do when you journal? What do you do when you journal? You just take the things that are in your heart and you put them on paper, right? What did Piagetsna say last week? He's like, you know what? I create this image of who I want to be. And then I measure myself up against who I am versus who I want to be. I make that plan. So let's say, my point over here is, you're not going to find like Gemara's quoted. I mean, you'll find some Ma'amari Chazal, but this is the Piagetsna's Neshama on paper. So here he goes. Imargish ata shelibcha bekirbacha nishbar. This is so profound. Let's say a person feels that their heart is broken. My heart is broken. In other words, what does it mean that I feel my heart is broken? It means that, like, I'm not in a good place in life. I'm just not in a good place. And I feel just like my heart and my spirit, nisrachahu, like rach, means like softened, like downtrodden. I feel broken. I feel broken. Od al tiftach b'cha. So listen to this. This is incredible. The Rebbe says, sometimes in life, you can't trust how you feel. What do I mean by that? He's like, sometimes, I will say, you know, there's a lot of psychology, right, that's contemporarily, that, you know, how you feel determines your reality. But that presupposes that how you feel is an accurate barometer of some level of reality. And I will say, but the truth is, what the Piagetsna is saying is that sometimes a person is just like in a bad spot in life. So what I feel is not correct. What I feel, the emotions I'm experiencing, they're not grounded emotions. Well, so I'll give you a simple example of this. You ever have like a very bad day? It's a very bad day, right? Where just something went really wrong, whatever it might be, right? Generally, for most of us, how do you feel on a day like that? What's your general mood on a day like that?
Bad mood.
Right? Bad mood. Right? How does the world look to you on that day? This never happens to anyone here? Or are you just too focused on the schnitzel? What is it, right? Hey, I'll say again, how do you feel? Hey, the world is dark. Now, the world is dark, right? Everything is terrible. Now, that's the way you're feeling. That's really the way I'm feeling. Is that an accurate feeling? No. No, in fact, the way I'm feeling is not an accurate portrayal of the world at all. Something might be wrong, and something might be broken, and something might even be really terrible. But the world is not dark because of that one thing, right? Again, there's plenty of other beautiful and wonderful things that are working just fine and are beautifully. So what the Piagetsna says is that sometimes when you feel like that your heart is broken and you feel that your spirit is downcast and you feel just like tzibrach, just like a broken person, just understand that just because you feel that way, your feelings may be misleading. That's what I'll say. I know it's like, you're not allowed to say stuff like this today in contemporary society, right? No, because if you feel it, right? If you feel it, no one has the right to tell you that it's not right, right? Because if I identify as feeling sad, then I feel sad, right? And that's it. And you can't tell me I don't feel sad. So I just want to tell you that's because, like, it's a load of garbage. Like, it's not true. It's not true, and it's misleading. And that's why, again, you have. I just discovered, you know, there's something called the misery index. There's something called the misery index. Fascinating. Yeah, the misery index.
It's an economic barometer.
It's actually interesting. It doesn't just measure misery, it also measures happiness, which is an interesting idea that happiness is determined by the misery index, which is, okay, different share. I was like, but the point over here is, why did I mention that? My point just is that just because you feel a certain way does not mean that what you're feeling is MS. So the Piagetsna says, he goes on, he says, Rak timaher ba'od moed likanis alibcha leshadid es admascha akasha. So I'll say, if you're feeling broken, and you have an inkling that maybe what you're feeling is not really correct, it's not really an accurate portrayal of what's happening. The piece says, what do you need to do? You need an emotional purge. You got to get into your heart. And you have to clean it out as quickly as possible. He says, Haskin is hapitzoim. fix the wounds, fix whatever is broken. Hashve eshak mumios. Literally, again, straighten out that which is crooked. And get out the worms, get out the rot from whatever is eating you up from the inside out. They're both saying, this is incredible. Essentially, what the Piagetsna says is that sometimes in life we feel down. We feel down. So we think, why do I feel down? I'm unhappy about this. I'm unhappy about that. The Piagetsna says, 9 out of 10 times, do you know why you feel down? Why I feel down? Because you're not happy with who you are. And if you are happy with who you are, right, then ultimately, again, it doesn't mean that you don't feel sad at times, but you wouldn't feel broken. Feeling broken is a manifestation of being unhappy with the current spiritual state that you occupy. So he's going to say, I just want to point out, let's say, you could of course disagree with this, but you'd be wrong, but you could disagree with this. You could this, because remember, this is the Piagetsna's feelings. Like this is not, I will say, this is not Torah Shabbat Peh, not Torah Shabbat Peh. This is the Piagetsna's journal. But I will say, but sometimes what you see from people's innermost thoughts, the most profound things, even more than their Torah, I will say, how incredible is this? Think about this. I'm telling you, literally, I have not been able to stop thinking about this piece the entire afternoon. Because for me personally, it has opened my eyes to so much. If I go back in my life, when I say go back in my life, I mean like yesterday, right? And go ahead and look at a time that I really was feeling bad about something. So I convinced myself that what I was feeling bad about was this or that. But the truth is, if I'm honest, the negative feelings came from inside. And the negative feelings came from a deep feeling of knowing I could be more. I could do more. I'm underperforming. There's a certain sense of personal rot that is sitting inside of my soul and is just like corrosively overtaking me from the inside out. And if I would find the power, if I would find the ability to go ahead and get in there and do that spiritual purge, get in there and do that work and take out that stuff, it doesn't mean that stuff wouldn't bother me, but I wouldn't feel broken. But I wouldn't feel broken. Or what the Piagetsna says is that so much about your general emotional disposition in life is reflective of where you are holding as a person. Happy, high performance, spiritually accomplished, Torah-dik people generally feel good about life. And people who deep down know that they're spiritually underperforming, people who have things that are broken that they refuse to acknowledge and accept, generally get upset about a whole bunch of stuff. But the real truth is, you're not upset about the stuff. I'm upset about me. So the Piagetsna says, in those moments when you feel broken, that's the moment, get in there, see what's broken, see what's going on, and clean it out. About, look what he says, Wilson, it's incredible. He says, about my hair, I say Cain. But do this very quickly. Now remember again, this goes back to B'nai Machshava Tova. What did Rebbe teach us in B'nai Machshava Tova? I will say, when is the best time to access your neshama? Remember from B'nai Machshava Tova? The best time to access your neshama? Emotion, right? So any time of heightened emotion, whether it's sadness or happiness, whatever it is, emotion is that moment where the door to the soul is open, a door that is very often closed. But in the moment of heightened emotion, that door is open, get in there. So the Piaget, this is incredible. The Piaget that says, you're feeling down? You're literally feeling, well, so, you know, it's just so interesting. I had this. I was in Florida. I was living in Florida for a day and a half. I had a meeting in a shir, and then I got stuck because of the weather on Tuesday. So three, four flights, whatever number of flights are canceled. I'm finally like on the plane. It's 9 o'clock at night, and we're not moving anywhere. 1 hour, 2 hours, nothing, just sitting. Then the lights go on. You know that feeling when the lights go on, and Southwest starts serving snacks. You know. Then already. Already know, and it's not good. And the captain says, oh, by the way, we've been on the tarmac for, I'm going to have to go back and refuel. Like, couldn't you put it in neutral? Like, well, what are we doing the whole time? Like, well, you know, so well, whatever. So I say, so, you know, it dawned on me in that moment, like, I was hit by such a wave of depression. So I tried to figure out, what is it? What is it? Like, what was the problem? And I was also like, I felt like in that moment that, oh my gosh, have I spent my life sitting on the tarmac? You know, there's nothing worse than that feeling of sitting there. You know, when you're on that plane, you sit on the tarmac, you're like, I'm not doing anything. I'm literally just sitting here. I'm just sitting here. I can't go anywhere. There's only two bathrooms, right, on this whole thing, right? Right? Everybody's getting like a little bit edgy and everything like that. Like, and I literally, I'm just sitting here. I've checked all my emails, all my WhatsApps, all of my texts. I mean, I didn't, but whatever. Whatever. I did everything I could do to keep myself busy, right? I of course, there's always more Torah to learn. But like, there's this like feeling of like, and then I realized I'm not actually hit by a wave of sadness about the Southwest flight because there's plenty of stuff to do even sitting on an airplane. I'm worried that, like, is this a metaphor for my life? And am I just living between destinations, constantly stalling out for hours at a time in the middle of nowhere? And that's what Piagetsna says. He says, you're not upset. I didn't realize this at the time, but after learning this, I realized that I actually wasn't annoyed. at the flight. I wasn't, because the truth is, actually, it was a shtickel olam haba, right? Because I had a drink coupon. That was good. So I was fine. I was actually fine. I took my wife's also, so I was good. Wi-Fi didn't kick on yet. Those are hard with Wi-Fi. So the truth is, like, and all I had was my Gemara. So like, the truth is, it was like a shtickel olam haba. It was a shtickel olam haba, right? A Jack and Coke, my Gemara, and no Wi-Fi. Okay, whatever. It's not important. Those are details, right? But Lamaisa. So, if I'm honest with myself, it wasn't the delay in the flight. It was the fact that, is this a metaphor for how I'm living? And that's the Piagetsna's describing. When you find yourself broken in life, you know, sometimes I am upset about whatever the thing is, but more often than not, I'm upset about me. I both say, you know what else you see? Then we have to go on. You know what else you see this? When you're in a good place in life, how do you handle adversity? When you know you're firing on all spiritual cylinders, right? You had that davening you needed to have, like we had this morning, right? You have that daf gemara. And now adversity shows up. How do you handle it? You got it. Like, I got this. Why is that? That when I'm spiritually strong, I'm able to handle adversity better. Because at the end of the day, the way you view the world is through the lens of your own personal spirituality. If I'm in a good place, then I'm ready to go. And if I'm not in a good place, then every single thing that happens, the sky is falling. So the Piagetsna says, therefore, in those moments where you feel so overwhelmed by life, a time of heightened emotion, get into your heart. Figure out what's clogging the arteries, right? What's going on in there? What's the rot? What are the worms that are crawling around? What's all the negativity? What's broken? Get in there now. Get in there now and clean it out. He says, but do it very quickly. He says, ki'af, ki'imdom elecha. This is incredible. Sha'atamargish hachno shel tshuva bekerbecha. Or maybe a person will say, you know what? I introspected a little bit, and you know what? I'm beginning to feel the humility of tshuva. Both say, get ready for this. Mikol makom, yesh shekel ze rak min eza taiva asher nechsera lechahi im akavod she'ata mis'ave elav o taiva acheres nechsera lecha af im eina tazocher ki chasru lecha le'ela. Shabbos said, this is incredible. The Rebbe says, when you go in and you introspect and you begin to try to clean out the stuff, he says, understand, this is not a quick process. And if you think you get in there and 5 minutes later you're like, all right, I'm good to go. Like, I feel like about tshuva, I'm ready. He says, no, that's not what it is. He said, that's your own self-delusion, trying to make yourself feel better, that everything that's fixed is already fixed. The desire to be about tshuva. I want to be about tshuva. Why do I want to be about tshuva? But it's incredible. Sometimes the desire to be about tshuva is driven by ego. Because if I'm about tshuva, then what does that show?
I'm better.
Then I'm improved. I'm fixed, Baruch Hashem. The Rebbe says, okay, if you're really fixed, fantastic. But sometimes you're not fixed, but you convince yourself that you're fixed, and that's out of a desire to feed the ego, because I don't want to be broken. So I say, see here how wild this is? In other words, I first have to find the courage to get in, to introspect. And then once I introspect, it's almost like there is a natural repulsion against introspection, but I am doing it, so I convince myself, I'm about tshuva, I'm done. I fixed everything. the Rebbe says, fight past that. Resist that. Move through that. He says, Ve'ena ta batuach ba'od rega, kasher es ta'avascha shuv tasig, im lo tischazik shiviras libcha karishona. So the Rebbe says, incredible. The Rebbe says, just understand, you can't be sure about your emotions. Right? I'm going to say, you can't be sure that what you're feeling is correct until you've done the work of introspection, gone inside, cleaned out whatever is sitting there. Until then, Rebbe says, don't trust your emotions. So if you have a little voice inside you telling, great job, shkoyach, you're a bal tshuva, right? Sticker for you, bal tshuva sticker for you. So the Rebbe says, don't believe that. Don't believe that, especially don't believe it if it happens quickly, because that's not how change works. That's not how cleaning yourself out works. The Yashuva Evan Listom es libcha shaya pasuach l'rega. And remember, the Rebbe says, see, Rebbe says, here's the interesting part. The work itself takes time. The work itself takes time. What you need to make sure is in that moment when you're feeling broken, you have to introspect then. See, Rebbe was saying, here's what's incredible. Human nature is just amazing. This is going to last us for 10 years, I'm realizing now, right? Let's say, so Lamaisa, right? Yeah. What's the rush? What is the rush? It's my new mantra, just like our Amud Yomi Shir, right? Our Amud Yomi Shir. We do a couple of lines a night. It's fantastic. We just call it Amud Yomi. So listen to this. So the Rebbe says like this. It's incredible. When a person feels broken and down, so often, what's like the spiritual or emotional reaction when you feel broken or down? What do people normally do? They shut down. In other words, people rarely introspect in like dark or difficult moments of life. And if I'm feeling down, I'm feeling broken. Very often, what's happening is I'm kind of just like the turtle going into the shell. Like I'm not really doing anything. The Rebbe says the hardest part is that's dafka the time to do something. Because that's the time of heightened emotion. Heightened emotion means that the heart is open. Get in there. So the idea is you have to get in quick. But just understand, once you're in quickly, Lemaisa, the work doesn't happen quick. Right? The work is going to take time. So then you have to resist the voice in your head that says, okay, you're in. You cleaned it up. Shkoyach, great job. Now go back to your life. Because if it comes too quickly, chances are you're not finished. He says, v'shuv, and then what's going to happen? V'shuv yelibcha le'et le'lev even. If you don't act quickly and get in, the soft heart that is softened by emotion once again returns back to stone. Ariel, va'atumikotzar. Well, this isn't how the Piagetzna describes the heart. He describes the heart as being uncircumcised and closed off on every side. They'll say that's often how we operate with our heart, right? So much we're going to see that Piagetzna is going to focus so much that I will say we don't really let ourselves feel. We don't really let ourselves experience. And even when we do, it's only for a short amount of time and then we just close back up. V'ata tishar mibachutz. We'll say, listen to this lashon, how profound this is. Sometimes we'll say, you know what happens in life? You live outside of your heart. I'll say, how incredible is that? I live life outside of my heart. I have this beautiful heart that's filled with so much kedusha, that's filled with the spark of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but yet I don't live in it. I live outside of it. Why? Because it's all closed off, it's all walled off. And in that moment of heightened emotion, the door is open. The door is open. Get in and do the work. Tishtokik letakin ma belibcha. Yearn to fix that which is broken in your heart. Aval oy vavoy. That's Hebrew. Aval oy vavoy. Nisharta mibachus lelibcha. Ve'ein lecha shum shlita alav. The worst thing in life is to live outside of your heart. Because if you say it's so beautiful, the worst thing in life is to live outside of your heart. Because if you live outside of your heart, then ultimately, again, you have no shlita, you have no dominion, you have no control over it. It was incredible. So, what's the takeaway from Gimel? We're gonna have little takeaways from each paragraph. The takeaway from Gimel Bosai is don't always believe your emotions. That sometimes what you think you're feeling that's generated by external stimuli is not really anything to do with external stimuli. But a lot of times what we're feeling, even though we link it to things that are happening on the outside, really negative feelings, broken feelings, feelings of sadness, are very often rooted in a feeling of inner brokenness, in a feeling of a heart, of a soul that is in a state of disrepair. And therefore, when you feel that, the Rebbe says, understand, heightened emotion, the doors of the heart are open, jump in, get in there, find out what's broken and clean it out. Yes.
I feel like this paragraph was written biased towards that if the emotions are negative and something must be wrong, whereas if the emotions are positive, it seems like the implication is that something must be right, where it could be the opposite. It could be that somebody who is feeling down, that there could be a legit reason, and vice versa. It could be that somebody who's happy, not necessarily because they're in a spiritually good place, they might be...
I don't know that I would agree with that. I think if a person is truly happy, happiness as we define happiness, right? And I mean, like a guy could be eating or smoking whatever, and he looks happy. That's not happiness. But I think true happiness you cannot achieve without a sense of spirituality. That's why I think the Rebbe Dafka. I don't know. I think a person could fool themselves into thinking that they're happy. In other words, people do this all the time, right? I have this, I have this, I have this, I have that, so I must be happy, right? And they put on a facade. So a facade of happiness, absolutely. But if you know people who are like that, generally it's only a veneer of happiness. The sadness is very close to the surface, right? Right behind that fake smile, you could sense the sadness already. But I think the Rebbe would say, if you are truly besimcha, the only way to be truly besimcha is to know that your heart is in order, that your internal affairs are in order. I think. Bose, take a look at paragraph Dalet. One more piece. We have a couple of minutes. Okay, we're making good headway here. So the Rebbe says as follows: Hishar na benafshecha. Bose, now this happens to be section Dalet is actually one of the longer sections in the Sefer, a couple of pages. So we'll at least start it tonight, and then Emiras Hashem pick it up next week. The Rebbe says Hishar na benafshecha. Hishar na benafshecha. So Bose, literally, Yisharna ben Ashcha means take stock within your heart, within your soul. This is actually incredible. Mahaya imasisa es kol asher Allah ben Ashcha. So I will say, so again, I just, someone will be the official note taker of the Shira. I don't know who wants to volunteer for that. Who wants to be the sofer? Where's Ari Lichtenstein? He listens online. Right? We need Ari Lichtenstein. He'll say, so just because, you know, the first thing the Piagetsna told us ultimately was journal. Second thing the Piagetsna taught us was you have to create the ideal image of you. And then again, compare that to the current image of you, and then make a plan to get from point A to point B. The third thing the Piagetsna taught us was that when you feel sad about circumstances, you feel broken in life, it's not about the stuff on the outside. It's about your feelings of brokenness on the inside. Okay? Three things so far the Piagetsna has taught us. Now number four. Hisharna b'nafshcha. Piaget says, look at yourself for just a moment. Ma'haya imasisa es kol asher Allah b'nafshcha. What would happen for a moment if you did everything you wanted? Right, let's say you gave yourself a day. I'm going to do whatever I want today. He says, "B'machshavtecha or ritzonecha me'otcha ad hayom hazeh." Imagine for a moment if you had done, you spent your life living and you did anything and everything you wanted, right? Physically, in your thoughts, with your will, from the day you were born until today. Imagine you lived that type of lifestyle. So what would you be? What would you be? The Rebbe says, "Kama mezuam meguna mechur haya osa ish be'ene elokim ba'adam." But say, a person who was like that, they would be disgusting. That would be a person who gives into every carnal desire, every want, every lust, every single thing. Personally, I will say again, the Piaget doesn't spare any words. Mezuam means like a bad smell. Meguna, disgusting. Mechur, ugly. Such a person like this would be in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the eyes of man. V'chol ashrecha va'amidascha. Hirak al shehigbalta al nafshecha va'asarta livlit seisachutza derech maasecha. So we'll say, so why am I not that guy? Why am I not that guy who does whatever he wants? One word. What's the one word? Control or restraint. I have restraint. That's what I have. We all have restraint, right? I have restraint. So my personal restraint keeps me from doing the things I shouldn't be doing. So this is incredible. V'imkein. So we'll say, if that's the case, then how am I different now from the criminal that's locked up in jail? Right? So in other words, the criminal who's locked up in jail, he also does not doing anything wrong. Why is he not doing anything wrong? Why not? Because he's restrained. Right? So he's got a cell. He's got, right? He's got handcuffs. He's got shackles. He's got guards. He's got prisons. So he's restrained. Right? And that's why he's not doing anything bad. And I'm restraining myself. That's it. I'm not doing anything bad. Piagetsna says this, but maybe I'm not really that different from him. Because if he wasn't restrained, then what? Then what? He would do whatever he's going to do. And if I wasn't restrained, then what? I would do whatever I'm going to do. And the Rebbe says, he says, Histakum la benafshecha. Look inside yourself. Hayim be'emes, page Shinchav Gimel. Hayim be'emes la rama arka. V'lo chashuva kol atzmosa min nefesh hazodor hazeh sher mefarkeses linateik es shal shalosav ulaharos chome bitzura lemale esa olam arasha. So Rebbe says, so now listen to this. The Rebbe says, so wherein lies the difference at the core between me and the incarcerated criminal? Both of us, if left to our own devices, right? Both of us, if without restraint, would kind of do the same exact stuff. So he's restrained, right, by a jail. I'm restrained. Of course, again, obviously it's better to self-restrain. But the point that Piaget is making is that both of us without restraint would wreak havoc. Right, we do terrible stuff. One more line, then we're going to have to stop for tonight. In mikbatas atzmecha, votim shal b'chal levilti hafkeres libcha u'mocha lasos matzal nafshecha, shetira bem dimyonos shav v'tasmiach bem machshavos etalos re'ilam amasim, kasher tala eizem machshav amidu v'tayva rabecha, tir defein ba'af v'tashdeim. So what's that? So now with the PhD is going to say, I have to stop, okay? I'm not going to rush, because this is like, this would be like gulping down, you know, a fine bottle of wine. It'll be a travesty. I will say, so, but what I will tell you is like this. The Piagetna says is, you see from here, that at my core, am I the same thing as the criminal? So wherein lies the difference between me and the criminal? He doesn't do things because he's restrained. I'm also not going to do things because I'm restrained. So where's our difference? So number one, self-imposed, which we're going to talk about, right? I have self-restraint versus he has external restraint. And the patient's going to bring in one more thing.
It's not really self-imposed. I mean, you can't really do whatever you want. You live in a society.
I know a lot of people who do whatever they want. No, Ruben's saying, you can't do whatever you want. In other words, right, aside from killing people, Yeah. In other words, you can engage in whatever immoral act you want to engage in. In other words, you're right. You can't harm someone.
But there's consequences.
There are ramifications. Correct.
That's
correct. Correct. So I think even that's
what
the
didn't hold the criminal back. He did it and got
right. But I think what Reuven's highlighting over here is it's true that even our own self-restraint, you're saying, is not really self-restraint. In other words, if society had no laws. I would do a lot of stuff. So again, it could be that for me, it's a combination of societal restraint, personal restraint. For the criminal, ultimately, again, it's an external restraint. So we're going to see the Piaget that says, so wherein lies my difference between me and the criminal? And the Rebbe is going to explain to us, and this we have to imagine, the Rebbe is going to explain to us that really what it comes down to is that my goal is to eliminate the negative desires. But I said, this is going to blow your mind because this is a totally different. The Rebbe says, everybody focuses on self-restraint, which is an incredible first step. But there's something even more powerful than self-restraint, and that is eliminating the negative desires and eliminating the negative things within. It's what he was explaining in Gimel. The higher level is cleaning out the rot. It begins by the rot is here, but I'm not going to act on it. Self-restraint. The higher level is getting inside and cleaning out those things so that I think a different way. I look at the world a different way. I am a different kind of person. It's not just that my abstinence from sin is because of self-restraint. It's because I've cleaned myself out so that I'm a fundamentally different person. I have to stop here for today. We're going to pick up again in Emirat Hashem with Dalit Emirat Hashem next week. Shkach, my rev in the main show.